Now to 7 on the Hill, Aaron Keck here with you this morning, and we're going to continue the hour by leaving the planet. Recently, our own Jim Kitchen, UNC professor, entrepreneur, Chapel Hillian, and one of the co-owners of this station had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go up to space with Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin mission. That was earlier this month. He's back down on Earth now, and he joins us here in the studio to talk about it, still beaming from the experience, because it had to have been great. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. It's great to be with you, and it's great to be back in Chapel Hill.
Yeah. So where do we begin? This is incredible,
ask
right?
Ask the question. Everyone asks, yeah. How was it? Yeah. Yeah, it's so good to be back. But let me tell you, that was you said it right. It was a once in a lifetime life experience, and one that I'm really still emotional about. It's been a couple of weeks, but wow. Everyone wants to know how it was, and the only thing that I can say is it was way more intense physically and emotionally than I ever would have imagined.
What is liftoff like? That's the thing that I've always been curious about.
So have you ever ridden in an electric car?
Yes.
Okay. So you know that experience when you hit the accelerator and your head snaps back and you're like, holy smokes, that was fast. It was like that from 0 to 2,300 miles an hour.
Yikes.
And so we get to 900,000 miles an hour. And I don't know exactly what I said. I think it was like, oh gosh, or maybe it was something a little more
less radio
PG
friendly.
Yeah. Rated. And I just was holding on for dear life, like, please don't be that guy that passes out on the way to space. But it was 2,300 miles an hour. It was Mach 3, and it was all I could do just to hang on.
What did they do to prepare you for that?
Well, we had seats that laid horizontally, which were supposed to mitigate some of the centrifugal forces. They said it was only 3 G's, but I think their accelerometer might have been a little off, because I had done 6.2 G's, GX, which means straight across into your body. And this, I felt like, was way more than those 6 G's.
Is this that scene in Chernobyl where the G meter only goes up to 3?
Yeah, that's
and never,
pretty much, yeah. Yeah, pretty much it. But the thing that really threw me off is I was in seat 3, and what they did was at takeoff, they spun us around, and then it tilted slightly. So I felt like I was on the backside, underside of the carnival ride that was going up. And so I was riding underneath the rocket in the capsule. So it was a lot to handle on the way up. But then we got to MECO, which is main engine cutoff. And then the separation, which was this loud boom that all of us were hoping for, because if you don't hear that loud boom, you're basically going to fall back to Earth,
right?
With the rocket booster included with the capsule. We heard the loud boom, and then we knew we were in space.
Mm. Speaking with Jim Kitchen, so it's a quick flight. Like the first one that went up, the one that Bezos was on however many months ago that was, I watched it at home, and like you're up and back in the space of 15 minutes. What did it feel like for you up there?
So the ascent was fast. I saw the first 10 seconds or so, and then I was hanging on for dear life.
Right.
And then after separation, it was as if time stood still. I saw, we got up, we unbuckled, we were supposed to take a photo, and I remember seeing across from my crew members the blackness of the universe and being so mesmerized by that I didn't get a good dominant place in the crew photo. I'm just kind of like looking out. But then I went back to my seat and flipped upside down and saw the whole spectacle of Earth, the small planet, the large, you know, infinite universe. And I remember just being so awestruck by how black it was. I couldn't believe, like, Aaron's wearing a black shirt today. It was 100,000 times blacker than that, just void of light. And just that whole spectacle was just mind-numbing.
What happened that you didn't expect?
Well, in that whole scenario I just gave you, I was supposed to stamp my passport, do a ceremonial stamping of my passport with another crew member. So we have a zero-G plan when we get up there. And so I was supposed to open my passport, I've got it with me here, and have it stamped by one of my one of my crew members, and I totally forgot to do that. Mm. We had practiced it maybe 20 times, and he had to flip me back over, and we had to go through that. What I didn't anticipate was I knew we'd be in space. I knew 65 miles, we'd be able to see the curvature of the Earth. It was way more dramatic, and my brain actually was in overload. It couldn't process. You can see a giraffe and then go to the zoo, and you're like, oh, that looks pretty similar. Seeing space in a movie or in a book or a digital image is not the same as seeing it live. And I just feel so fortunate and humbled to have witnessed that, and my brain just went haywire seeing it.
What was your first thought when you touched back down?
I was very emotional because I had spent 50 years pursuing that goal.
Yeah.
One of my earliest childhood memories was sitting in my mom's lap watching an Apollo rocket lift off the coast of Florida. And I remember that like it was yesterday, and wanting to be an astronaut. And just wasn't smart enough to be an astronaut, to be honest. Went to UNC and kept that dream alive. And I actually promoted low Earth orbit space trips with a thing called Project Space Voyage. And my friends at Carolina ridiculed me mercilessly for selling space trips. And then, you know, 50 years later, to actually go to space, to have been able to achieve that goal and live that dream was just, was very emotional.
Speaking with Jim Kitchen back from space, and this is not your only significant trip. You've also been to every single one of the 193 recognized countries in the world. That passport's gotten a lot of use. So out of all of that, where does this rank?
I carried a flag that said 194, so 193 was symbolic of all the UN countries. Mm. This was a beautiful, fitting end to that journey. Not to say that, hopefully, good Lord willing, this isn't the last big journey I take, but it was a fitting end to that journey, because being able to see a borderless planet from the edge of space was very emotional. We talked about the emotions that I experienced when I got back down. You know, it wasn't only that little kid fulfilling a dream. It was seeing, especially in today's age, with all of the things that are going on in the world, all of the conflict, and I was able to fly the U.S. and Ukraine flags up in space as well. You know, to see that borderless planet was a beautiful sight, and one that just reminds us all that we're just people. We're mm-hmm. all ordinary people governed by different leadership structures, but we're all the same people that have the same emotions and the same needs, and that was just a beautiful symbolic moment to experience.
What did you bring up to space with you? You brought a lot of the stuff here.
Yeah, I brought 10 passports, one of which I was able to bring out and fly those flags. I had the Ukrainian stamp there. I have some stickers that say this sticker flew in space. I also brought up about two dozen Public School Foundation stickers as well. We're going to give those to the members of PSF who do such wonderful work with our local school system.
Nice.
A picture of my family and a UNC. This was one of the best. It was a UNC signed basketball signed by none other than Michael Jordan and Dean Smith.
Nice.
And the hope is to get Coach Williams and Coach Davis to sign this, and then auction this off and give the proceeds to the UNC entrepreneurship ecosystem to help start student ventures, which is near and dear to my heart as a professor of entrepreneurship at UNC.
Very cool. That basketball is deflated. Is that a product of going up into space, or did that happen before?
No, it had to fit into this 3-pound bag.
Ah, gotcha.
So I had quite the decision of, do I bring stickers or do I bring this ball? And I actually, don't tell anybody this, but I actually was able to bring probably 7 to 10 pounds of stickers by getting creative, using my entrepreneurial skills. And I wore some very large, long tube socks and stuffed stickers in those tube socks. So I was able to accomplish, I put those on my body and these other things in my suit. So I was able to have bring everything that I wanted on board.
Some people use that technique to bring snacks into the movie theater. You use this to bring...
Yes, I did not get did not get busted, but I will deny that if Blue Origin asks me, did you do that? I can neither confirm nor deny.
So speaking with Jim Kitchen, and we got to wrap up this conversation, but I wanted to end by going back to the beginning. You mentioned this already, that this has been your dream for decades. There was that day well before the flight when you got the news you'd been chosen. What ran through your mind?
You know, I got my wanderlust from my parents. They were public school teachers, and they took us all over. Best three things for teaching, they always said, was June, July, and August. And so they'd put the kids in the back of the wood-paneled station wagon. And, you know, I grew up an adventurer because of them. So it was an emotional moment hearing from Blue Origin that I was actually chosen to go on this fourth launch. And I never knew what the term weak need was, but I experienced that in December, just after Christmas, when I got the call. And so I had to sit on the news for a couple of months. And then we were delayed for, you know, a month or two. But gosh, to actually have this dream come true, it was such a good, it was such a great moment and such a great experience. Because, you know, as a teacher, I like to teach my students that anything is possible and to keep that dream alive and to push through boundaries. And this trip to space has definitely been a testament of all three of those things.
You can read more about Jim's trip on our website, chapelburr.com. Jim Kitchen, thank you so much for being with us. It's fantastic.
Aaron, you're the best. Thanks, WCHL.